Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know who you mean. I just can't think of his name right now. Shoot. Damn it.
You tell me you tell me what you want me to tell you, and then I will tell you.
Oh, damn it.
Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, Jay Veen. In this show, my man, James Tapeleg Grayling, and I talk about goaltenders stepping up, a great stretch of hockey, and we also discuss the merits of the NHL All-Star Game, those topics, and a whole bunch more Avs and hockey stuff. Coming at you in episode number 135 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stick around. The AHP is next. Hey, what's going on, Avalanche fans? Welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. He is James Tapeleg Grayling, and I'm Jay Veen, and this is your home for almost everything Avalanche. And James agree with me when I said he is James Tapeleg Grayling. So we're off to a great start.
I also agree that you are you, so I think we're off to fine.
We're batting 1,000.
Yep.
We're doing well so far.
Yep.
Well, we're back. And like like James, I want to quote James from the last show. Oh man. Oh man. That was so great.
Glad I said something great in that.
We got a great show for you because they're always so great. And
well, there's a lot to get to because there's a lot of shows since our last one. Our last one was like a little over a month ago. Yep. And I mean, Jay and I we do always say things like, you know, we work. You know, I had a couple of 70-hour work weeks in this. This is going to sound like I just did a word scramble, but I've just spent the last 2 weeks working on The Shining, the opera. I'm not making that up. The Shining, the opera.
You couldn't make that up if you wanted.
Yeah.
To.
So, you know, it's been a little busy, and that's why we haven't been back. Jay and I wanted to do one last week or the week before, and I was just like, oh, no.
Yep.
No.
No, no, thank you.
No.
Well, here's the other thing, too, is that we had talked to even like, it felt a lot longer between our two shows, like 2 weeks after our last one, if that makes any sense. But I was like, let's think about doing another one. But I honestly don't want to jinx anything either when we start talking about this stuff. And like the Colorado Avalanche Hockey Club is playing like some seriously, I wouldn't say perfect hockey, but they're winning a lot of games and getting a lot of points.
Yeah.
And I don't want to jinx that like ever.
Well, I don't think we were terrible jinxes because I believe in the last one I said something about the goaltending step, you know, needs to step up.
And they did.
Darcy Kuemper sure did.
And they did.
I feel like Pavel Francouz has taken a little bit of a step back, but not enough that they can't win games.
No, they've...
You know,
We did the math, right? Have they lost twice since our last show in regulation?
Twice in regulation and once in the shootout.
And that's like it, you know? And that's a lot of games, too. They're playing a ton of hockey, and that's not going to change. I think there's two days in between last night's game in Vegas and Tuesday's game against the Islanders here. But I think they play every other night. Peter McNabb broke it down. There's like 15 games in 30 days, and so it's gonna be a grind. But it's like that, like McNabb said last night too. It's gonna be like that for every single team in the league. So there's that. Yeah.
I've already derailed us though because we haven't done jersey numbers.
We have not done jersey numbers.
Episode 135, which means that we are in solid goaltender territory.
Absolutely.
With jersey 35. How many 35s do you think you own?
Oh. Looking at that list, none.
Really?
I'm not into the goalie cuts. Like, I need bigger jerseys just from being Team 58 Plus, but the goalie cuts just don't, they're not long enough for me.
I love the goalie cuts because the arms are so flowy. You feel like an eagle soaring through the air.
And you literally could be if a big enough wind gust comes up.
Yeah. So the one, I own a Tyler Wyman.
Cool.
And I'm pretty sure somewhere I own a Lake Erie Monsters Tyler Wyman. But I haven't seen it for a long time, so I'm wondering if I lost it somewhere.
No, it's around somewhere. You have to have
it. I mean, it's somewhere in the existence of the universe, but I may have lost it somewhere.
I can guarantee you it's somewhere, but
it's somewhere.
Maybe it not close to me.
It exists. And I own a J.S. Chagair Game Worn, which has a great stitch repair right under the main crest.
The repairs and that they're the best. No one can argue with that. The repairs are better than the marks, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have a gamer with a repair on it, I don't know. It's kind of, let me derail this a little bit further, but I watched a history of jeans in the United States.
Okay.
And they go back all the way to like slavery, all the way to back to first industrial stuff. Fascinating stuff, but it made me think of jerseys and the fact that like your repair, like mm-hmm. you can fix it, but it'll always be there. And it was a really good metaphor, but anyway. Sorry, but
fix it, but it'll always be
there. It'll always be there, like especially with jeans. Like you can sew them up and everything, but it's not gonna, that repair's always gonna be there.
Yeah,
but yeah, kind of an interesting in-depth metaphor there. But Jiggy, I think, was the right goaltender in the wrong part of his career and the wrong era of Avalanche hockey. Absolutely, for sure.
Yeah,
he was kind of that lone bright spot for a while.
I'm sure I've told the story, but we went to Game 7 Stanley Cup Finals in 2003, which was Ducks Devils, and they lost, and yet Chagair got the Conn Smythe as best player, even though they lost.
One of five players in the history of the Conn Smythe to be on the losing team to win the Conn Smythe.
I didn't know that number.
Well, I have a buddy that's a big Martin Brodeur fan, and that is the only thing I can talk to him about. Because Brodeur's like resume is like ridiculous, right? It's got everything on there except a Conn Smythe. So I bother him about that a lot.
There's other things that you could bother him about, but they're not going to be mentioned on this podcast. However, you could probably look them up if you really want to.
If you Google what?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that Sean Avery brought up all of them.
That's true.
If you're looking for something about Martin Brodeur, I'm just going to say it's there.
Yes. I sent him a text and it was something about Brodeur. It was this date in history in 2012 or something. Brodeur became the 12th goalie in history to win 30 games in a season or whatever for 9 straight seasons. But and then my text after that was, on this date of history, Martin Brodeur did not, nor on any date did Brodeur win the Conn Smythe trophy. Because one of five teams that didn't have anybody good enough on it to have somebody to be named the Conn Smythe winner. So
yeah, you hoisted the cup, but none of you were good enough to actually.
Sorry.
Yeah. Anyways,
good try.
And that was actually the saddest like player thing I've ever seen. Yep. When was Chagair sitting in his net.
Yep.
Somebody while came everybody and told was celebrating, him, didn't they? Everybody left. All the Ducks left, but he's still out there. In his net, sitting in his net, waiting to be awarded this thing that he's just gonna and skate off because.
I remember somebody going out there and telling him that's got to be the weirdest feeling.
Oh yeah.
Oh wow.
Oh yeah. What a great playoffs run though. I mean the Ducks had that like 5 overtime game.
Yeah.
Oh, it was just insane.
And it's not the I was reading the description of the Conn Smythe, just looking over the history, and it's not the MVP of the playoffs. It's the MVP for their team in the playoffs. So I guess having one of the people on the losing team every once in a while makes sense. I don't know. I agree.
Well, and it's the whole playoffs. It's not, you know, just the finals. Right. So.
Yeah.
It's I will say that when he retired, it was like, I really, really want a Chagair jersey.
Yeah.
That was like, and if I got, I know I have a Mighty Ducks jersey, and I would get his name on.
Yep.
He's
just class. Everybody loves him. And like I said, wrong era of Avalanche hockey. That was the Vegas days. That was the Shane O'Brien, let's go party days. And those were some bleak times, but I think as best he could, he held it together, and we will always appreciate him for that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Also, let's just mention Avalanche legend Tommy Salo.
I know. Well, Avalanche and Grizzly legend as well. Like that was a name that definitely stuck out for me as well. I agree.
But what a year! Mm-hmm. You know, that was the year of Korea and Solani.
Yep.
And you know, it's supposed to be so. And, you know, he's backing up Abisher.
Tommy Soderstrom, too. I know he wasn't a number 35, but it's those Swedish goaltenders that stick out sometimes, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Michael Hutchinson. And Andrew Hammond, the Hamburglar.
He's back. He's in the news again. He's burgling. I
forget who he's playing for.
He's burgling hams again. I can't remember either.
There's an easy way to find out. If I just click that link right there, I could probably find
if there was only a hyperlink that I could just click on.
Oh, look, Montreal. Your goalie go round.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Oh.
Because things are going smooth there.
Yeah. He's, according to these stats here, whether it's true or not, he has played two games and won two games. Okay. So,
good for him.
And for the Montreal Canadiens, that could make him the number one goaltender these days.
Marty St. Louis is turning things around there. That's for sure.
That was an interesting choice, wasn't it?
That was, but hey, you got to go with what works, I guess.
Hey, I mean, but no coaching experience. Yeah, not even no minors and all that. And it's like, hey, let's throw you in there. Why not?
Who needs it? You know?
Hey,
Ron Graham.
Against the wall.
Ron Graham is another name. DU graduate. Son grew up around here too. So
really, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he did. They grew up here, and then he went on to, I think he won a Stanley Cup in Tampa. One of their, I mean, he didn't, but he was on a team.
And Johansson, of course, who's now still with Buffalo, I think.
I believe so. No, and I think it was Florida. Florida.
Oh,
he came from Buffalo and moved.
That's right. Yeah, you're right. Yep. Nope. Nope.
Yeah. Not really an elite list, and
he's played one game there.
Yeah, geez. And only three of the players, three of the goaltenders played longer than a season. Fasse is the one that was around the longest, and that was just the first few games of that season, and then got moved. So,
and of course, everybody's screaming at their podcast right now. Darcy Kuemper. Last episode, I was saying that, you know, this is, and the quotes, of course, were, you know, that the look at the numbers and the, you know, and as soon as they said that, what do we get? They beat the Ducks in a shootout. They beat the Blackhawks in a shootout. In a shutout. They're
close enough.
Similar names. Yeah. Yep. God. This is why I don't listen to back to our show.
Shutout.
Yeah. Oh, why are you doing this to me?
I'm sorry.
But the goaltending has really stepped up. Now, mind you, of course, Larry Brooks of the New York Post, I believe he was the one who was talking about them before. I think it was yesterday or the day before, he said in his column, "It's hard for me to believe that an Avalanche team that would otherwise be a clear-cut favorite to win the Cup is entrusting the goaltending to Darcy Kuemper." And
when
in
was
the
this
last,
said?
It was like, day or two ago, I was on Kukla's corner. John Michael Lyles in last night's post game was saying, you know, with all the rumors surrounding that, you know, getting a better, you know, a different goaltender, he still feels like Darcy Kuemper stepped up and solidified as the number one. But even he acknowledged, they're probably looking for a backup.
Really?
And stay the course and this and that.
Interesting.
Very, very interesting. Even though, what is it? Deadline cap space, according to Cap Friendly right now, is $3.9 million.
It's gone up a little bit. They've been able to get people healthy and then send them back down. Jacob McDonald is one. That gives them a little more flexibility. So I don't know whether they're going to be able to add a big time scorer that might be able to play third or fourth line. Or someone that can, because right now that's kind of a need. That scoring touch from all four or three out of the four lines has kind of gone away. Mm-hmm. So it might be a bigger need as far as adding some depth. Like Claude Giroux's name has come up a lot. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. I just worry. I'm more worried about chemistry than I am about who they may or may not pick up at the deadline. And I wonder if you get a third goaltender and have to move somebody around. That's going to be kind of strange, but you never know too.
The thing with Giroux is there's a lot. I mean, that's a lot of, there would have to be salary retained, obviously.
Right.
But I always, I go back to Boston and Iginla, and when they picked up Iginla and they messed with the chemistry, Was it Boston or Penguins?
I think it was.
Might have been Penguins.
Yeah, it was one of the two. Something black and gold, right? Yeah.
And they messed with the chemistry. Yeah. They were on fire. And then as soon as they did, it just, and it's not, and good player. He's a great player.
Great player.
And yet, what was the point of it?
Yeah.
And I think that there's a certain grass is greener. We're going to make things better, a new player. But I also think there's a lot of times when you mess with that and all of a sudden you've messed with the team chemistry to the point where people are thinking, well, why did we do that? What was the point of that? What was our reasoning?
It's hard to look at the standings and be like, this team needs this. Like it's apparent, mm-hmm. The standings tell the story. The statistics tell the story. Darcy Kuemper on the 19th beat the Sabres 5-3. That was his 18th straight game where the Avs earned a point. There was a couple overtime losses. I think a shootout loss in there somewhere, but 18 straight games with at least a point. Like, how can you be critical? It's hard to be critical of a whole lot in this last stretch. Maybe secondary scoring, maybe the power play. Other than that, like, they're still, last night against Vegas, they didn't play that well, and they still won. Like, how much do you want to mess with that? How much better do you think it should be, especially with a goaltender? These two have played plenty well enough to give their team a chance to win every single night.
And in the post-game interview last night, JT Compher was saying that, you know, they hung him out to dry. They hung Comfort out to dry. And that's going to happen.
Yeah.
There are going to be games like that, but they could at least admit it and see it and go, yeah, that guy helped us that much. Of course you can always, you know, everybody wants the perfect goaltender, you know, that's 6 foot by 4 foot, but it's not, that just isn't the case. And if he's playing well, keep it rolling.
Yeah. I just think you need a goaltender that's good enough. There's no goaltender that's going to win every game. You just need a goaltender that's going to pick up their play when the team's a little bit off, and that may not be the best goaltender in the league. This team does not need someone who's going to steal a string of games all by themselves. This team just needs somebody that's going to be good enough to stop the pucks. Most of the vast majority of the pucks that should be stopped. And for the most part, if they're healthy enough, like, everything should be okay. With or without Nathan MacKinnon, cause he's the one that's been in and out the most, but for whatever reason, this team has looked pretty good without him in the lineup. And he even acknowledged it last night after the game too. He says, you know, I feel like I can take a night off if I need it, knowing that this team picks up, you know, with Kadri playing like he has and Landeskog's just playing out of this world. You know, it's just an interesting thing. So I'm curious to see what they take a lot of pride in their chemistry as well. Mm-hmm. They talk about it a lot. They mention it to the media. So it definitely means something to them. So it's going to be interesting, like usual, at the deadline to see what happens. And that's in about 3 weeks. So we're going to find out.
You got five guys that have 50 points or more. Billy MacKinnon came on last night.
Yeah.
He's at 51. Landeskog's at 54. And Makar is at 56.
And then with their games played, how many games has MacKinnon played in?
38.
51 points, did you say?
Yep.
In 38 games. That's ridiculous. And he's like having an off year, whatever that means. I mean, we'll take his... Every team would take his off here, you know?
I believe I saw the stat last night that Makar is 150 points in 150 games.
For a defenseman. For a defenseman, he's 22. It's ridiculous. I don't know. I like him. He's good at hockey.
He's good with the puck.
That's right. But the other thing, too, so that streak ended for Kuemper. Just going back to Kuemper real quick. Mm. The Avs lost on the 21st to Boston 5-1. It was one of their worst performances the entire season. My tweet after that game was, I'm glad we don't have to get used to this because this team is not going to allow that to happen. They're too good. Because in the past, we watched like a whole season of that, basically. But Kuemper had 40 saves and it was his first regulation loss since December 1st. Like, how can you be critical of that? It's just, it's so interesting just to watch things kind of ebb and flow in the season and what people decide to kind of complain about. So if there is a hole, it's probably that people are going to talk about. But
well, the other hole being, of course, the slash, that the phantom slash or whatever of Nathan MacKinnon against the linesman, which
There was that. And then there was also the Boston
game. I don't even remember who he was trying to slash in that.
I guess what had happened, and I didn't watch it close enough, I think the best angle they had was from above, but it's whoever he was facing off against pushed his helmet down over his nose, which had been broken the last time the Bruins played the Avalanche.
Oh, gotcha.
So there was that too. So. Yeah. Yeah, I had seen a couple different takes where, oh no, McKinnon's stick ended up between the linesman's, like he tapped in between the linesman's feet, because I didn't see the linesman like flinch at all, but he couldn't see who he was trying to slash and ended up catching the linesman. I guess they kind of patched it up as well. So
yeah,
I don't know. There's some interesting takes there. Speaking of interesting takes, no shout out to Jack Edwards. Like I was texting you about Jack Edwards.
You do not like this call at all.
I based on how I watched the games, I wasn't able to get the Avalanche feed, so I had to listen to Edwards, and I was just like,
no,
this dude.
This is the thing about guys who call the games. They are hired to be entertaining. And yeah, to Jack Edwards,
that he is.
For Jack Edwards, he is entertaining, especially for a certain segment. And I mean, absolute 100% homer. I love when something happens, he sees it one way, his color guy sees it the other way, and they see it on the playway, the play by play or the replay. He goes, oh, yeah, I guess when he goes, I guess it was that way, his version is just like, well, moving on. He doesn't even mention it. He's just like,
so, I don't know. I was ready for the repercussions.
That was a vicious head. And that guy should be thrown in jail. He should be thrown in jail. Actually, he hugged a koala bear. Anyways. Back to the face-off.
He did that. He was not pleased that Curtis McDermott was playing this game, and he thought it was indirect kind of retaliation for the kind of hit that Taylor Hall had on McKinnon. So he mentioned like two or three times that he has more fights than like career goals or something like that. Mm-hmm. And he also, there was one hit along the boards, clearly hit the dude in the chest. He was like, Department of Player Safety, are you watching this? Like, you need to take a look at that. Like nobody else saw it that way. And it's just like, do you really believe this stuff? I was confident enough to where I even put it into the Twitter world, because you got to be really careful with takes like that. And the first reply, I only got a couple of replies. The first reply was from a Boston fan, and he was like, yeah, he's a little much. We know that. And we like his passion, but his takes are not so great. So no.
He will never be, bipartisan.
He'd probably tell you that, which we'd appreciate, but McDermott iced the puck at one point, and then the Bruins scored the shift the faceoff right after that. And he was saying that was on McDermott. Like, he shouldn't even be playing. See, I told you. And he was calling Valeri Nichushkin but he calls JT Compher by the way Compher likes to say it, which is more of a Compher. JT Compher. That's the way he says it. Nobody else kind of says it that way. But whenever players are like introducing themselves on camera, I always listen to the way they say their own names, because that's probably how we should be saying them, right? And it's Compher. So I don't know. We'll work on it. It's not what it says there, JT. I know that's your name, but that's not what your name says. So
I've there are people I've known for years who still cannot pronounce my last name. And I'm just like, it really isn't that difficult. They're still just like, there's still people who are like, oh, that's James.
It's Jimmy G. No,
Jimmy
not
G.
even close. And yeah, so it's, I don't know. I muted him after a while, and I enjoyed the game a lot more. As much as could, as the Avs got smacked down. You know, it was just one of those games. But
he will never be the guy that other teams love. I think that if there are the teams that, just off the top of my head, there's only really two teams that I just cannot listen to, and it's Boston and Detroit.
Okay.
Just those two, the color guy in Detroit, I'm just like, I'm sure that he's a legend. I'm sure that I'm going to be like, oh, James is a jerk because that guy, I just like, after a while, I'm just like, okay.
I can't do it.
I can't.
I gave it an honest effort, though.
Yeah. There's a certain amount of, like, I'm not saying that I need to have like ambient piano music or something, but there are times when I just need to go to the radio that music station while the game is playing.
Yeah.
And, you know, some player's going to get injured, never come back, and I'm never going to know about it until after the show.
Or, I worry about that. Or,
But at the same time, life's too short.
Life's way too short. Just to be all frustrated. I wasn't super frustrated.
Maybe that's the next t-shirt is life's too short to listen to Jackass. I don't know.
You'd probably buy one too.
But it sure is true.
It is true. It is true. Yeah, it was just funny to listen to that. So what else? We got all kinds of good stuff to talk about.
Can we talk about the All-Star game for a moment?
Let's talk about the All-Star game.
Ugh, great. I just
threw up a little in my mouth.
I didn't watch any of it.
And it, do you feel like you missed anything?
You know, the only time that I felt like I missed anything not watching an All-Star game was the year that John Scott was there.
Yeah, there you go.
And I was just, and that is never, that was an anomaly of epic proportions.
And we were there for it. Like, let's go. That's what we need more of.
Let's see this. But there was no, I think that it is a commercial event. It is not there for the fans. It is not there for the players. The fans want the best players in the world at the Olympics. They don't want an All-Star game
at a commercial.
And you know, I'm painting in broad strokes here, but still,
it is an
absolute commercial for the NHL, and it's not a very good commercial either.
Yeah. So Nathan MacKinnon's face was broken, right? We can talk about that hit in a second. So he couldn't go. So it would make sense, especially with the statistics look like and all that stuff, to send Mikko Rantanen. He's you know, at times the best player on the Avs team, and then they go with somebody on the Predators because they went with Roman Josi on the Predators because no Predator was there. So the league has never come out and really said we need one player from each team.
I thought that was a requirement for like the All-Star game.
Well,
at least in the selection.
Well, I mean, maybe because they have to keep it because it's commercial. You have to keep everybody interested, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then some people are like, oh, it's the All-Star game, so you're gonna have the best players in the league there, and it's like, you literally can't do both. And
that was MacKinnon's complaint that it's supposed to be that it's supposed to be the best players, but you know, you have guys, you know, that honestly, they're good players.
Tom Wilson was there. Exactly. So you have to vote to get Kadri in when he should be there. Like, mm-hmm. That was another thing that MacKinnon said. He's like, it's a no-brainer. He should be there. He's having a career year. He's amongst the top scorers in the league. There's nobody predicted that at all. He deserves to be there. Why are we voting him in? And then when MacKinnon gets bounced out, they send Josi instead of Rantanen. And I'm not that bitter about it, but it's just kind of weird messaging.
I'm not bitter at all. When we have a complaint about something or when we don't like something, the assumption is that it's not working as intended. This is working as intended.
They want
every team to be represented so that there's the opportunity for every team to have people tuning in.
So their fans are interested, right?
Yeah. I mean, the right now, today, as we are recording this, the Avalanche are 50 points ahead of Arizona.
Is there any reason why there should be a,
the only person I could think of from Arizona that should have been there was Phil Kessel.
Yep.
And mostly because of the comedy, because it's comedic genius for it.
It's Phil Kessel. Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, there is no reason for the Coyotes to be there for us. But for the NHL, so I think it's working as intended.
Okay.
It just should. It's just the intention kind of sucks.
And it's still like people still talk about it as one of the better All-Star games because something is riding on it. It's $1 million between those 12 players or whatever. So you get the three video reviews during the game. It's just like, oh, are we really doing video reviews during an All-Star game? But yeah,
if you want to give people what they want, have Tom Wilson there and then penalize him as soon as he steps on the ice. And then as soon as he steps out of the box, call him for something else.
Like Brad,
they'll give people Marchand, what they want.
Marchand would be the same way. Like,
they
even have Wes McCauley mic'd up at an All-Star game a couple of years ago or whatever. And he was saying,
man, like, if I called,
this place would go nuts if I had called you for a penalty.
I think this year that Wilson was mic'd up and he said something like, oh, thank goodness they're not introducing us by name. Otherwise, I'd get trashed. And then do introduce them by name, and sure enough.
Of course.
Like, I would have joined in on that one. Yeah. Heck yeah.
I watched. It was halfway entertaining. You know, it was fun to watch Kadri score a few goals and watch Cale Makar do what he does. And, you know, ironically, it does keep me interested. But one thing I did like, too, is that they were video review. One of the video reviews, you know, the officials are on their iPad, and Victor Hedman skates over into kind of that half circle that's against the boards that no player is ever supposed to be in. Mm-hmm. He goes over, starts looking over their shoulder. I thought that was great. But I don't know. It's just fun to watch the guys care just enough. But, you know, it's also just enough money involved to be kind of annoying. So it is what it is. I don't think it's going to change anytime soon.
No. I mean, they'll scrap the Olympics before they scrap the All-Star game.
Yes, they will.
This year, there were many reasons to scrap the Olympics. I'm not, you know, I think it absolutely needed to be scrapped, but, you know, it's just, it's not a substitute any more than the World Cup of Hockey is.
Yeah.
You know, the World Cup of Hockey, it occasionally was great and they really wanted to do more of them. Nowadays, with everything being harder, with all the travel being harder and everything, you just can't do it as easy.
And yeah.
It's just, I don't think there's anything about the All-Star game that has ever made me say, I need to watch this.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Which All-Star games did I go to? I went to a UHL All-Star game and I went to an AHL All-Star game.
Oh, okay.
And the best parts about those, the best part about the UHL one was it was in Glens Falls and it was the where Barry Melrose owned the team. And so he was walking around and we got a scarf signed. Did I ever tell you about Meg's scarf?
No, he signed it. He signed the scarf.
So he signed her. She has a USA Canada scarf, right? And you know, like USA Hockey Canada, and he signed the scarf, right? And then we're at the AHL All-Star game, and there was like some after the skills competition. There was like some, I don't know, there's some like VIP party or something like that. And I must have bought tickets. So because
you are VIP, of course you're there.
We all know that's not true. You can stop lying. You can stop lying to the people. So we go, and who's there but Ray Ferraro, Chicken Parm.
Okay.
And of course, they were on ESPN together. So Meg has her scarf, and I'm like, you should ask him to sign it. She's like, no, I don't know. I was like, just tell him Barry Melrose signed it. So she goes up to him, and she's like, would you mind signing this? Barry Melrose signed it. And he takes the Sharpie, he looks at her, and he goes, Barry Melrose signed it.
It sounds like something
just
say.
Like that. And and she was, of course, mortified. And he's laughing. And she tells me, and I'm laughing. And this was, many years ago was this? This was great. Like 18 years ago. It's still the best.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
And he's still around, too. I was watching him yesterday. Yeah.
And then the other one was the AHL All-Star game that I went to. And the skills competition was fun and all. But they had the glass down. And so you have more interaction with the players and stuff. And we chatted with a few of the players, and was during the lockout year. So there were, you know, there were like backup goalies being the main goalies there and stuff, you know, or NHL backups who were, you know, had been sent down for the year for the lockout. So
that's cool.
Yeah, those were cool. But being there and the minor league, I don't know, like the NHL version is just so overwrought with all the fancy stuff and the you know that doesn't really very corporate.
Yeah,
it just didn't do it anything for me. Yeah,
I hear you. Yeah, you didn't miss anything.
I don't feel like if there was the return of John Scott, I would probably watch. Other than that,
the one here was cool too. I mean, maybe it's just because we were season ticket holders at the time and got some great seats, and there were, you know, so many Avalanche playing, but. That's by design.
Four or five? I forget.
It was definitely five. It was
Sakic, Forsberg, Hajduk, Foote, and Wah.
Not Foote, Bork.
Bork.
And Wah. Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay.
And Rob Blake, had that move been made yet? I can't remember.
Was he trade deadline or was it before deadline?
I think it was trade deadline. So it hadn't been made yet, but he played that game too. So it's, you know, the Avs had like six or seven guys on that team. It's crazy. But yeah. So there's that. There's your All-Star update. You guys all saw it. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk about Peter McNabb for a few minutes because
because
first of all, I got great news. Peter McNabb's cancer-free. He announced it a couple nights ago. Good stuff.
Excellent.
But yeah, he's had a couple of classic moments since our last show. One I see that you're clicked on real close, but there was one before this where I think Mark Mosier was going over everything and going over upcoming games. And he said, okay, we got Montreal coming up. They've been struggling a little bit. And there was just this awkward silence. And McNabb, after about 3-4 seconds, goes, good. It was just hilarious. Just to, you could kind of see his head. You could hear his and feel his brain spinning. Like, should I really say that? Do I really hate the Canadians that much? And he said, good.
The answer
and
was
like,
yes.
I was like, good for you.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. And then also against the Lightning, which was, I'd say this was one of the games of the year. This was just an unreal hockey game between two awesome hockey teams. And it was one of those where, you know, obviously you care whether your team wins or loses, but sometimes it's just cool to watch great hockey teams play each other. Avs won 3-2. Vasilevsky had 44 saves. Kemper had 36 saves. It was a great game. Avs were up 2-0 early, which is, you know, sometimes hard to get a hold of. But Joe Sakic was on at the beginning of the third period talking with Mark Mosier. And I know the chemo has had its kind of effect on McNabb's brain, right? Plus, he's not there most of the time. Mosier's there. McNabb's back in the studio by himself trying to keep himself healthy, things like that. So they're talking with Sakic, and I think McNabb gets like this historical thing in his head where Nichushkin scores the go-ahead actually to give the Avs a 3-1 lead. But then McNabb calls him Kamensky in the replay. And I was like, both number 13s, both Russian. I'm feeling that. And I just thought it was a really cool moment. It was wrong, but it made all kinds of sense, if that makes sense.
He didn't call him high notes. So,
no, he didn't. No, he did not. He did not. But I loved it. You know, they shoot obviously different hands, but I thought that was cool. But shout out to Peter McNabb. Man, it's just, I think we've all known people who have either survived cancer or their families that have gone through it, not survived cancer. Man, to watch him kind of cry on air, which is not something you'd expect from Peter McNabb. He did that a couple times the other night when he was just saying how grateful he was. So it was good stuff. So
that's great.
Yeah.
The guy, how has he's been there the entire time,
whether it's on the radio or I think he's been color the entire time, right? Mike Haynes and a couple other people have done play-by-play, but I think he's done color TV the entire Avs existence.
I mean, I think that we're so hypercritical these days of whether or not people make mistakes or anything like that. But I mean, oh my God, somebody made a mistake in that many games for that long, for that much history. You know, you're going to say the wrong word, the wrong name. I can't even pronounce half the guys' names in the free, and I'm an Avs fan and I can't do it. And so, you know, I will never, I may tease a little, but I will never seriously be like, this person screwed up and they should be gone or anything like that. That's a lot of games.
I think
it is.
He's a fixture and people love him. And I think this year, especially when he is able, which has been most of the games, which is a ton of credit to him, but like, it's just so cool to hear his appreciation for what he's able to do come through. And you can tell that. And it's just been great. Everybody's obviously super happy for him. And, you know, when you see him, like even my kids who don't watch all the time, but they've seen him enough. They're like, oh, is he okay? Like, cause he's lost all his hair and everything. But, man, it's just so cool to have him around. And I think it means a lot to all the guys. And I think he kind of mentors all the guys. I'm sure that Peter McNabb and Kyle Keefe have learned a lot from him through the years.
And also keep in mind, he is 69 years old.
Yep.
He played in an era without helmets. He's going through chemo. Can you imagine like the amount of times that he had his bell rung in his playing career and still being able to, do all of this and stuff. I mean, I'm not saying that it's terribly old or terribly this or anything, but he took a lot of punishment in that.
He did. Well,
every player took a lot of punishment.
I mean, he went into the stands too, but he didn't want to talk about that anymore.
You don't want to talk. I wasn't even going to mention that.
I didn't talk about that. Sorry.
You got to mention that.
But that was that era though too. That was entertaining, man.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But he's, you know, he's so hockey player. He's very humble. Whenever they bring up his playing days, he'd rather tell stories. He doesn't want to talk about how many goals. I mean, he had a good career as well. It wasn't, you know, he's a strong player. But it's just, feel good story. We love that.
Excellent.
You know?
Yeah.
You never have too much of that.
Yeah. Hey, I just want, can we talk just quickly, Stars?
Of course.
Real fast. Avs shut out the Stars 4-0. Next game, 2 days later, they lose the Stars 4-1.
Yeah.
That's interesting. You know, the back-to-back. I mean, that's pretty interesting.
Sports. And then, Joe Pavelski, I don't know. No Joe Pavelski. I'm going to start calling him No Pavelski. But he's just always, I put in the notes, Joe Pavelski doing Joe Pavelski things against the Avalanche. I'm tired of Joe Pavelski scoring goals against our favorite team. It's not fair.
Now he's not a Shark anymore.
He's not. But wherever
he was for so long, and yet still as a Shark, still less hated than Logan Couture, I think.
True. But he's just one of those guys that always plays well against the Avs, and there's a small handful of them, and he just keeps doing it. I don't like it. Yeah. No.
I just assume that there's like some kind of sports streak that you get on, like where you do well against a team a couple of times. You're like, these are my guys. And you just believe in yourself that much more, that pushes you that much more to really take it out of
them. I mean, if you have a career long,
the only thing that makes sense.
Yeah, you have to play better against some teams than others. It's just how it's going to work. And I just don't like the fact that, you know, he does that against the Avs, but I'm a little angry. But
you're going a little Jack Edwards on this one.
Yeah, no kidding. I'll stop talking about it then. His name has come up though too, as far as his contract and things like that. So hey, if he's you know, you just sign them when they can't beat you and be your biggest killer if they're on your team. So I'm not saying the Avs should sign him, but I'm not saying they shouldn't either. But
well, I mean, it's too early to look at next year, but there's some UFA money out there.
There is.
There's some serious UFA money. There's some, you know, and some is Kadri going to be here? Burkowski going to be here? These
are good questions.
Is Nichushkin going to be here?
These are good questions.
These
are good questions. I like good
questions.
Because we like to speculate sometimes, but I think Kadri has outplayed his time here. I don't think they can afford Kadri, but that's just
the only way I see him staying is if they actually win a cup and he feels like they're going to go for a second run.
Maybe a teeny little discount. Yeah.
Maybe.
He's had a heck of a year. Like, he's cooled off a little bit lately. Kind of that secondary scoring has cooled off a lot lately. But man, he's had a heck of a year, and nobody predicted where he would be when it comes to points and the scoring leaders in the league. So a pleasant surprise for sure.
I cannot hear somebody say the word points without thinking about that Comedy Central show where you went with Chris, what's his butt, where you win the internet.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and I can't even think of the name of it now.
Time. Yeah.
But anytime somebody says point, well, that's because they canceled it. But
that's right.
Anytime I hear people say points, I just hear him go, points.
Points. Yes, that was a good show too. I know exactly what you're talking about. I just can't remember the name.
Yeah, it's such a good show. I can't remember the name.
It's hilarious. I have it burned in my brain.
I'm an idiot.
Why do what? We should look that up.
What do you think I'm doing right now? Riff.
There we go. Let's see. We can talk about other things. I got all kinds of other stuff to talk about. Okay, let's talk about the Avalanche losing on the way into the All-Star break to the Coyotes 3-2. We were talking about this a little before we started recording. Their home win streak was snapped at 18 games. It's the fifth longest home win streak in NHL history. But it was just a perfect game where the Avs just came out just totally flat. The Coyotes have nothing at all to lose. Everybody expects them to lose, including the entire gambling community. As far as the odds makers and everything, I guess by the math, this was the biggest upset in the last 10 years in the National Hockey League. So I don't know, but
it was the biggest upset and it was in a shootout.
Exactly. So. It's sports. That's why you play the game. There's nothing wrong with a little wake up call. I don't know. I think I've said this on the show before. When I coached sports, when I was coaching kids too, losing's not always the worst thing that can happen. You're going to lose. It's more what you do after it. And the Avs didn't skip a beat. They just kept on going right after this. But it is what it's sports. That's why you actually play the games. If you go off what the odds makers are saying every single time, there's no reason to play the game. That was not to say that wasn't frustrating though.
Oh yeah. No, I mean you went a little Ted Lasso there, yeah. But I look at what the next game mm-hmm. was. I mean, you get a break and then you step up against one of the best teams out there, yep. And a team that lost 3-4 good players in free agency, you know, salary cap shedding, that kind of thing, and haven't seemed to miss a beat.
Yep.
Against the Lightning, and you play that good of a game against them. That's important.
Yeah,
that does show that you take it seriously after a loss like that, and don't say, well, you know, where are we gonna? That's okay. It was an anomaly. No, you gotta step up.
It was after a week off too. I think everybody was like, okay, mm-hmm. where's this team going to be after a week? We're going to find out really quickly, because if you don't show up against the Lightning, you know what's going to happen.
Might as well not show up in the playoffs.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was just one of those games that game on the 10th, it was just like, I would like to see a 7-game series against these two teams and watch how it all plays out. But yeah, so that loss wasn't so fun, but losses happen. This is what it is. That's for sure. A couple nights ago, the Avs win 6-3 against Winnipeg. It seemed like it was just going to be one of those games, kind of like the Bruins game we were talking about earlier. They're down 3-0 earlier. They score 3 in the second period, and they've got the Jets against the ropes, and then it's just 6-3. Like, just came storming all the way back. What a great performance by this team, and they could have packed it in after the first period, but they just forgot about it and just kept going like they have been.
6 unanswered goals is nothing to see.
6 goals, period. Did you see, by the way, was it the Red Wings and Maple Leafs score last night?
No.
10-7. Toronto beat them 10-7. Exactly. It's a football score, but.
Did they just play 6-on-6 the entire night and not have goalies show something. Up?
They turned the nets on their side, and then they just did that, but. Yeah, so yeah, 6 goals total is great, but you know, 6 goals in 2 periods is even better.
Wow.
Gabriel Landeskog just goes off and has his second hat trick of the season against the Jets as well, 5th of his career. Joe Sakic leads the Avalanche franchise total with 15, and I think there was a couple more, but. And Nathan MacKinnon had a ho-hum night, 14 shots on goal. That's a new franchise record.
Oh my God.
14.
I didn't realize that.
14. I don't think anybody did, which makes it that much more, I think, impressive. Because if you're like playing in your men's league game and you have 14 shots on net, like, somebody's eventually going to say, hey, I'm open, will you please get me the puck? But it wasn't that kind of a night. It was literally afterwards. I was like, whoa, 14. You literally had no idea. That's how kind of dominant he was. He was just doing what Nate MacKinnon does.
Yeah. I don't think anybody is... gonna look at Nathan MacKinnon and go, can you get me the puck? It's like, hey, go ahead.
You should score that.
I want to win. Go ahead and do that.
I like it when you have the puck and you do good things with it. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then last night against Vegas, flat the whole game. They're down the entire game except for, you know, 26 seconds in the third period between two shifts literally changes the game. So mm-hmm. the Avs are winning games all kinds of different ways, and they literally, yep. they have a couple back-to-back shifts, and that was good enough to win the game. So hockey's really interesting that way sometimes.
And it was something we talked about before, and I know I complained about and sounded like a kind of a fool and just saying, you know, they just outscore you. They need to win other ways. And they have been. Yep. You know, it's of course you have to outscore them to win. Yeah, duh. But they weren't playing, you know, when the team would take a grinding game to them before, they were lost. Yeah, when a team would take it to them in the corners, or, you know, just a hard hitting game, or
apply some pressure,
trap or whatnot. Yeah, it was when the other team was dictating the terms more, the Avs would just try to fall back on, we're going to try and skate through you. And now they're they're playing much better in various ways. Yep. They still need to get the power play together a little bit more.
I think they're like two for the last 29. It's so surprising with the firepower they have on that, especially that first power play unit. But things come and go.
They've always struggled against teams that are aggressive on the penalty kill, that challenge them directly on the penalty kill. But I felt like the last couple games that I saw when they were on the power play, they were moving the puck better when they were getting challenged like that. They can move the puck fast, but when somebody would skate up to them and kind of get in the guy who has the puck's grill, they sometimes just didn't move it very well. They didn't move it very quick. They fell back. They would lose the puck pretty easy. I feel like they're moving it better when they're getting challenged now than before.
Yeah, they are. Part of that, the first thing that I thought of, I think Nathan McKinnon's been here a long time. We've been used to him moving the puck or, you know, shaking a guy off or two, but I think Cale Makar at the point and just how well he moves the puck and how well he can get by people and through people and around people, that makes a big difference too. But
yeah,
it's been like that for years. They have not, and maybe that's just a recipe. Maybe that's where we become great coaches. You can be the head coach, where it's like, if you can and you have the energy, pressure on the power play, it just throws things off. It throws people's timing off. You definitely don't want to be passive, especially against this team, but I know teams try. It's easier said than done.
Yeah. But don't give them the chance. Don't give them the chance to get it back and figure it out. But that's,
you think with all those weapons, with Makar at the point and Rantanen as well as McKinnon ready for one timers. And you've got usually Landeskog and Kadri somewhere down in the middle, trying to set up one timers and traffic and everything. You wouldn't think they would go through a stretch where they're like 2 for 29 or 2 for 30 or something like that. But here we are, and they're still winning games. So
I think that there's something about the power play where if you're mixing up the people involved, that it hurts more than when you do it on 5-on-5.
Yeah.
Because you are spending all your time in one end rather than spending trying to get into that position that you're supposed to be in or that you're used to. And then you pull out a McKinnon and okay, so who is going to be in that left circle? Who is going to be that person? And so I think that there is some uncertainty there where you practice so much with your unit that you throw off not just the chemistry, but the ability to get to those places and know what's going to come to you.
Yeah.
I think there's something to that, and that the rest of the play when you're going 5-on-5 is so reactionary versus a setup thing.
And I think I think 5-on-5 McKinnon is more easily replaced than he is on that first power play unit, because there's no one that can do what he can do on that wing. So I think Comfort is the one that comes in and fills that hole as best he can, but that totally changes the style of everything they're trying to accomplish.
Well, and where would you, if you were designing a power play without just replacing somebody and Comfort was one of them, where would you put Comfort?
Yeah.
I mean, I know where I'd put him. Yeah. I'd put him right in front of the goalie. Right
in front of the net.
He'd be either right in front of the net or that, you know, and occasionally drifting a few feet out when the puck went behind the net. Yep. But he's the guy who can sit there and take that. Yep. He's not the big guy that can screen everything, but
He's great at tipping those pucks too. That's part of his, that's part of his style. But yeah, I guess when it was either when Rantanen was out or McKinnon was out, I can't remember exactly, but against Vegas again, it was the game before last night's game against Vegas and Landy with the third period one timer that was just ridiculous. And I literally thought it was Mikko Rantanen, and it actually kind of looked like Joe Sakic as well. But man, I didn't know that Landeskog had that in his arsenal either. Because he's usually parked in front of the net. He's redirecting shots. He's getting in the way. He's not getting in the way. Things like that. But man, I mean, but again, it just makes me go, wow, how can they go 2 for 30, have a 2 for 30 stretch on the power play? But it happens, and it won't be like this forever. That's for sure. They have too much talent. Yep.
Yeah.
So there's that.
That's a lot of hockey.
They've been playing a lot of hockey. We had a lot to talk about, but.
Yep.
I think we covered most everything, Avalanche.
I think we covered almost everything.
Avalanche. Almost everything.
I think the only thing we haven't covered is just the spiel. You're ready for the, I think we should spiel it.
I'm
ready to do this?
I'm so ready. I'm always ready.
I know you got to lock and load your, your shout out
cannon. Oh yeah, I got the shout out cannon going, but yeah, the spiel's what's on deck right now.
All right, here's the spiel. You can always find the out.
You totally got this.
Yeah. Oh no. Oh, I just head over heels myself. I just broke my own ankles.
You just juked yourself.
That was terrible.
Okay, reset.
How long have you been podcasting, James? Yesterday?
God. At least 12 hours. No, you got it. Let's go. You got this.
All right. You can always find the Avalanche. No, you always find the Avs Hockey Podcast. Yes, at avshockeypodcast.com, where we have a sidebar that has all kinds of links that you should see. But what you should really be seeing is some of these goal pucks that Jay has, like Mika Rantanen's eighth career goal puck from the Ducks, right? Eighth. It was early. Eighth. That's an interesting one to have.
Yeah, that's cool. All right. It was fun.
You know, and has tape around it. And hey, here's number eight because he loves the number eight. Mm-hmm. But Avs has new posts up there with like certificates of authenticity and stuff. Gosh, you got them from all over.
Yeah, that's
a couple from Canada. They came in from Canada.
The game's interesting. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, those are fun to write about. I've been slacking a little bit lately, but I'll have to get back on there.
That's all right. Yeah. Yeah. But you can always, you know, you can find all the links to things like Avs Twitter Psychic, which Jay plays, and apparently a few other places they're playing, and he's going to touch on that in shout outs. But Avs Hockey Podcast. God.
You got it.
AvsHockeyPodcast.com.
You did it.
Yay. And on all the social stuff, he's.
We're all over. Podcast.
And I'm not. So
there we go. We're all over it. Go. Yeah. So
Jay, please make me stop talking and do shout outs, would you?
You did fine. You did fine. Shout out to the Colorado Rockies baseball club who had a night where they came over and joined the Avalanche, and they just, you know, the Rockies don't have a whole lot to talk about right now. So, cause I don't know when that season is going to start, but whatever. But yeah, the Avalanche posted their pick and then they threw it over to the Rockies and said, hey, you want to play? And the Rockies posted their Avs Twitter Psychic pick. So I thought that was kind of cool. There's a whole lot of stuff with Avs Twitter Psychic that I never thought would happen. I never thought the Colorado Rockies would post a pick, but it was Kadri for that night. But that was really cool. That was on January 26th. So that was cool.
Nice.
Once again, shout out to Peter McNabb. Happy he's feeling well. It just makes everything. I mean, we all need good news right now. So very, very happy for him. You might be wondering why I put the Minnesota Wild Twitter account in here.
Yeah.
James's face right now. I don't pay a whole lot of attention to what the Minnesota Wild do. They're just not my favorite, but last night they got smoked by, you're going to be okay with this one, James. I promise you. They got smoked by the Flames 7-3. The Flames have been playing great hockey lately under Daryl Sutter, but, instead of posting the final score, the Twitter account said, you can Google the final score. I thought that was hilarious. I thought that was absolutely great. So rather than feel that pain, they just said, you can Google it. And I think whenever teams and people on socials take the time, an extra second or two to be creative with it, I give them credit. So shout out to that.
Thank you. Thank you, Minnesota.
Whoever that was, but I think that let me make sure I got it. It was, yes, you can Google the score and it's got 2000 likes on it. Like that would have gotten way more attention than actually posting the actual final score as it was. So good for them. And yeah, there should be more of that on the socials.
I know I've mentioned, Mark Chinook, the guy I toured with, who was, the in-house guy with the Golden Knights.
Hype man.
He also goes out to the, all the, outdoor games and things like that now as well. But he'll on Instagram, on the, stories, you know, on game day, he'll be like 1-0, 2-0. And then when they start losing, it's just radio silence. And then there's nothing after. It's like, what's the score, Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mark, what's the score? How's it going?
Waiting for the score update there, Mark.
Hey, Mark, come on. Mark. Where's the thing?
Mark.
Mark.
Hi, Mark. Are you still there?
Mark.
Do you
need you, Mark?
Do you care, Mark? Come on now.
Come on, Mac.
And also, shout out to anybody playing Gordle. I got James on to Gordle just before we started recording this, and it's a fun little game. For those of you that don't know about it, it's the same as Wordle, but with five-letter hockey last names. That's it.
Yep.
It's very simple. Same type presence. What word am I looking for?
Presentation.
Same type. Yeah, I'm going to need some lunch here sometime soon.
What are you trying to say? It's exactly premise. Like Wordle.
Premise. Same type premise, for sure. But yeah, it's allowed me to dive into five-letter last names that I either hadn't heard of in a while or just weren't thinking of lately. So, you know, it's probably way more finite than Wordle is, right? But it's pretty fun. And so if you're playing Gordle, like, yay.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah.
I won't be because I should have known. It was like Jay was giving me hints and I'm like, I know this.
Yeah.
I know this. And to create quote the great Richard Iowardi, I don't mean to be pedantic, but that means you don't know.
And
I know this, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
That means you don't know.
It's a little redundant. Yes, it is. But yeah, I mean, James started with the same name that I start with every single day on Gordle, and that's Sakic. And why? Mm-hmm. Who else would you start with? Are you kidding me?
I went Sakic, Smith, and Foot.
Okay. I can't remember. I think Ryan Smith was actually a couple weeks ago. Whenever they have an AV tied to them, it's even better. But it's a fun game. Just look it up. Google will actually ask you, did you mean to look for girdles? And you can tell them no. I'm looking for Gordle, but it's on the internet and you should play because it's fun.
Yeah, it did the same thing to me. It was like, we're going to take we're showing you girdles. I'm like, well,
thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. It's nice of you.
I think Google just called me.
Thanks, Google.
Thanks, Google. Also, it was at midnight with Chris Hardwick.
Oh, at midnight. Points.
Yep.
Points.
I should have won the internet one of them, but I got way more likes on one of the win the internets for the. But
it's a funny show.
I got way more likes and I did not get chosen.
He's pretty funny.
I think I just wasn't naughty enough.
Yeah, so. that's always a key. So
it was dog song names.
Okay.
Yeah, and I can't remember what one, but mine was "Hold Me Closer, Tiny Dachshund." So.
Yeah.
You know when I'm bringing up my non-glory in a canceled show that it was on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
The shark has been jumped. We need to wrap.
Going back away.
That just tells you right there, we're done.
That's it. You're done.
Good try, James.
You're done.
Nope. All the nope.
No, it's we're happy to be back in your ear holes. Thank you for downloading the show. Yeah. We know it's been a little bit, but life is life. And there wasn't that much. Yeah. There was some to talk about, but not that much because the Colorado Avalanche Hockey Club is playing some fairly decent hockey, and we're all here for it. So
low controversy right now, which is exactly how we want.
We like it this way. Hasn't always been this way. Hasn't always been this easy to wait this long and to, you know, have things to talk about. But we will obviously take it.
Look, I'm sure that what was it? The Cincinnati Bengals hadn't won a playoff series in 31 years.
There you go.
I'm sure there were podcasts for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yes.
In those years previous that were just like, we're tired of talking about them losing, but we're still here for it.
Yep.
Someday we're going to be back in those terrible days because that's just the way it goes.
It comes and goes. James and I have been here through the absolute worst, some of the NHL's worst historical seasons. And then we're working on one of the better ones. So we'll take it.
I'm going to say that this is the best Avalanche podcast with a guy named Jay and a guy named Jay. I'm just throwing it out there. I know.
Not sure if that's
controversial.
Not sure if it's accurate. But I mean, some of the stretches they have played, though, historically, like there was like, I don't know, some random stat. I don't know how they keep track of this, but the time between January 24th and whatever was like one of the best stretches of hockey any NHL team has played in its history. So I don't know. It's I'm a little nervous to see where it goes from here because it just, you know, it is what it is and it's cyclical, but I think this Gabriel Landeskog, he's on a mission this year and it's cool to watch him. And he's like, we're going to get some stuff done this year. I know they're excited about where they are in the standings. Standings look great and all that stuff, but it doesn't mean much unless you do some other things. And
yep, this is true.
Hopefully this is the year for that. And either way, we'll be here, you know? So Yeah, we appreciate your support, everyone. Thank you for listening to the show. Thanks for your patience. And we'll be back in your ear hole sometime soon. And yep. We got a virtual.
Probably after my next 70-hour work week.
Virtual fist bump. Yeah. People got to work. Yep. That's what we do. So virtual.
Not that much.
No one needs to work as much as James does, but we make it work. So,
all right. James doesn't need to work as much as James
does. Absolutely not. Thanks for everything, anyways. James. Appreciate you. Good to see you. All right. Everybody else, please take care. Go Avs, go. We'll talk to you next time on the Avs Hockey Podcast. See ya.
You listen to podcasts or
I've listened a little bit. I've listened to podcasts more when I'm walking. I haven't walked in here enough lately. So I listen to our show for sure. That's the top priority.
I can't listen to our show. I just listen to me. I go, God, I sound like an idiot.
So. We both
can't do it. I listen to it. I'm just like, oh, how many times did I say like? How many?
I know.
Complete a sentence, James, all the way through. Just get through the whole sentence.
Come on, you can do it.
You've been talking your whole life. You can't shut up. Why are you doing it this way?
What is happening?
Use your words. And I don't.